once again time for the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Here's the same two idiots as last time, your host Derek Knight and that Colin Burton guy.
It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me, as always, it's Colin Burton from fizzlingpop.com. Hi, Colin.
Hello, everybody.
You know, I recently got back from a trip, and essentially that's why we're tardy. We're very tardy on this episode. It's a Thursday.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Yes, it is all my fault, because I was out of town. I had hoped to try to record one from a hotel room in Albuquerque on Monday night, but I never even got around to even trying to do that, and I doubt you would have been ready.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, because when are you ever ready?
I was going to say, like, I'm ready today, you know. It's
yeah.
Entirely different.
Are you ready? I call you up. Are you ready? No. I guess I could get ready.
Yep.
But no, I recently returned from Phoenix, Arizona. I played on a team in the Grand Canyon Division in the 20th annual Arizona Hockey Classic, which is a tournament that has been put on by the California Hockey Productions. HockeyTourney.com is their website, and they do a fine job. David Cohen, who runs California Hockey Productions, deserves congratulations for yet another successful tournament, but he does not deserve congratulations for how he handled my hotel reservation, unfortunately.
How'd he mess it up?
Well, see, the way things work is you book as a group. It's a discounted rate to stay at these very fine hotels. We stayed at the Scottsdale Plaza, which is a resort on Scottsdale Road, a very, very nice place. But you pay one lump sum to stay at the hotel and play in the tournament. And then he takes in all these reservations from these hundreds and hundreds of people that want to play in the tournament. And then he books them through a group representative at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what that means is if there's any error, he has to be the one to make the changes. The hotel will not help me as an individual guest because they see me as one of his guests, part of his group. And originally what I had done, because I am nothing if not completely distrusting, before we left town, I called the hotel to confirm details of the reservation. And right off the bat, something was wrong. I had paid for Thursday night, and Thursday night was not booked. So I had to call David Cohen, leave him a message. He called me back, apologized, called the hotel. It was fixed. And then I then call the whole hotel back and confirm that it's been changed. It's been changed, and I tell them. I say specifically, I am going to be arriving late. I'm not actually going to be there on Thursday night. It's going to be more like 3 o'clock on Friday morning. Okay, Mr. Knight, that won't be a problem. I'll make a note. So the wife and I do show up right around 3 a.m. on Friday morning. I stagger into the lobby, and guess what?
Your hotel's been given away, right? Your
room. Well, it hasn't been given away, but I was placed in the no-show pile because I didn't show up, even though, you know, I called him and said, I won't be showing up till 3 a.m. Wow. So, long story short, it doesn't do a damn bit of good to call people who aren't going to listen. And then, so I get the room keys, we go to unload, and as I posted in my text-based blog post today, we were given a smoking suite. Not a non-smoking suite, as I had originally requested, but a smoking suite. And it was one that people, whomever stayed there before us, however many hundreds of people had stayed there before us, really took that seriously, because the place stunk really bad. And I called up the front desk, and I said, hey, I asked for a non-smoking suite, and this is obviously smoking. It's got a very foul odor, and there's an ashtray in the room. Well, we can't help you. David Cohen is the only one who can make a change, so if you want, we'll call him in the morning and get it fixed. Well, what that turned out to be was just a lie to get me off the phone. They didn't call David Cohen. Nobody called David Cohen, and I was tired of having to call David Cohen. So I got my revenge the only way I know how.
You stole the ashtrays.
No, I replaced the stench of thousands and thousands of cigarettes with the copious stink of my body odor from my goalie pads because I was playing in a hockey tournament and I had to air out my gear between games. So guess where I did it? Right in the dining room of the suite.
You rubbed them on the wall and on the door handles.
Well, I didn't go that far, but I did spread the, instead of everybody else in the complex seemed to think it was okay to just spread their gear out on their front porch and on the front lawns. I don't know if you know this, but down in the Phoenix area, they have what are called scorpions. And I didn't want to, you know, be sliding on my goalie gear and all of a sudden feel like, what was that? And suddenly I'm dead. So I closed up all the doors and made sure there was no ventilation and aired out my gear inside the suite.
Well, that ought to be it.
And by the end of our stay, it was pretty much neutralized. It was kind of a fight to the death between two overwhelmingly bad stenches. But I think I won. I stink more than you, fuckers. Ha! Yeah.
Yeah.
How was work while I was gone, by the way?
Busy. Very busy.
Busy? Yes. Really? So I should feel bad for leaving.
You should, actually. I mean, we had that presentation coming up, and so we were slammed. We had all the ads to do and all the presentation stuff, and there was a lot of presentation stuff.
Well, but I worked on a lot of stuff before I went out of town.
Yeah, but
you're saying there was more?
Yes, there was more.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, as much of I guess I should feel bad, but I don't.
I know you don't.
I had fun. Both the wife and I played in the tournament. Her team, unfortunately, didn't win a single game playing in the women's three division. Maybe they need a women's four or a women's five division. I'm not sure. But they had a good chance to win their first game, and their goalie kind of gave it up. They didn't really have much of a chance to win their second or third game. I mean, my wife played a good, you know, tournament. She played fine on defense, but one teammate does not, you know, win a game.
Exactly, yeah.
For an entire team that can't even, you know, seem to get their shit together and gain the blue line. I played on, I'll use team in the loosest sense of the word. It was a bunch of guys, some of them whom I played with on other teams before, some of whom I have never played with before, and I guarantee I'll never play with again. There were a lot of roller hockey guys who never play ice, and then I learned a valuable lesson. Don't ever take roller hockey guys to play an ice tournament, because they're not going to be able to perform consistently for you. And we won our first two games. I had to play really well in the second game for us to get the win. We won 3-2 against a team that ended up making the championship game, and I'm pretty sure won the championship. We beat them. And then we go on the next day to, if all we have to do is win one more game, and we have a bye into the championship, and three quarters of the team show up stone drunk, and they can't even play. They can't even skate. Falling over just dead drunk and stupid. And so we lose the game against a team that we could have easily beaten, which means that we then have to turn around and play that same team 6 hours later.
The team you just lost to? Or
the team that we had just lost to. We lost to them 7-2, and I faced a ton of shots. We only put like five shots on their weak-ass goalie, and he lets in two. And so I tell them all, I said, you know, you fuckers, number one, better go sober up. Number two, I can stop these guys, but I'm going to need some help, and I'm going to need some goals on the board. So 6 hours later, I hold up my end of the bargain. They blow it, have their earlier total. They only put up one, and we end up losing the game. Yeah. So we send this team that we could have easily beaten to the championship game to lose against a team that we had already beaten.
Yeah. I don't know about people like that that just don't focus on what their goal is for something.
I mean, I'm all for partying, and I'm all for drinking, and I understand that there are people that go down there to party and drink, but I go down there to win some goddamn hockey games. And
exactly. Why pay the money to...
Yeah, I mean, it's a long drive, it's a long way from home, and it's, you know, a significant amount of money. I mean, you know, I don't have P. Diddy money hanging out my anus here. You know, I pay money to go down and win, and unfortunately, not everybody was on the same page, which is why I will never play with that team again. And the team that I regularly play on at the World Arena, called the Sharks, I found myself missing them greatly. You know, I would be watching the game thinking, you know, Kenny would have gotten to that puck. Kenny wouldn't have made that mistake. Ryan wouldn't have made that mistake. Don would have knocked that guy down for me. And instead, I was watching these bumbling idiots, tumbling the stumble bums, just falling all over each other, not making plays, and giving the puck up right in front. And then, you know, they just wouldn't listen. And I had a game with the Sharks last night, my first night back in town, and actually Tuesday night. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. And I told myself, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to play just as hard as I played for the stupid team that I was down in Phoenix, and I'm going to see what happens. I knew the answer. The Sharks know how to win a game against a decent team, and we were playing a decent team. The way you win a game against a decent team is I hold a shutout as long as I can. They put up enough goals on the board to frustrate them. We won 13-2. Now,
wow.
In a game with the team that I went down to Phoenix, we would have lost 2-1. If they would have been able to put one goal up.
Right.
So that's the difference. You know, you want to go down with a team that you can trust, with a team that you know is going to buy into the scheme, so to speak, and be able to play the game. You know, a team that will look at you and say, we'll get that one back if a goal is scored. And you believe them. You know, these guys, one kid, you know, told, oh, we're going to have a 3-goal period. We're going to win this game. We had a 0-goal period and we lost. And how can I trust you? I can't. You're retarded. So, no, I had fun, but I did not achieve my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal was to take first, and we took third, and that's just not good enough, in my opinion. We were a team that was, when sober, good enough to take first. Unfortunately, I would say a few ruined it for the many, but unfortunately, many ruined it for the few, because only three of us showed up to that third game sober, and I was sorely disappointed in some of the guys, because some of them I knew, I trusted, and, you know, I know it sounds petty, but they've lost my trust in a hockey sense, and it's a very, you know, it means nothing to a lot of people, but to me it meant a lot.
So yeah.
That's all I can say.
So what are you going to do next year?
Next year, if I'm going to work on the Sharks, and a lot of them have already expressed interest in going, and if they go, I'll go. If they don't go, I won't go. That's a simple fact. I mean, I'm sure this team will want me to go with them. They were very appreciative, and they'll thank me for coming down. And, I did the nice thing, and I said, well, thanks for having me, but under that said, I'll never be back.
So what if Heather wants to go and you don't want to go?
Well, if Heather wants to go, she can go. That's fine. And I will go with her likely just to take a break and have a vacation, but I will not play in a tournament with those guys again.
Wow.
Simply put. And you know how much I love hockey.
I know.
And if I had an opportunity to play and I'm turning it down, something must be wrong.
Yeah, you take hockey over dogs. I mean,
well, I would take most anything over dogs. I'd take a sharp kick in the ass probably over a dog. So that analogy just doesn't work, my friend.
Yeah.
The hotel in Scottsdale was beautiful. It was on 40 acres. It was a resort. It was the kind of hotel, though, that caters to the well-heeled yet ill-prepared traveler. The kind of place where I don't know how many hotels you've stayed in. I know you hate to travel, so you might not have had the experiences that I've had, but this is the kind of hotel that you walk in, and it's got a wet bar with snacks all over it. But of course, if you eat them, mm-hmm. like $3 per stack will be added to your bill. There's bottled water on the bar, but if you break the seal on one of these bottled waters, $6 will be added to your hotel bill. There's a refrigerator, and it's got booze and mixers in it, but if you unlock it and use any of it, like $10 per drink is going to be added to your hotel bill. There's sunscreen in the bathroom, but if you use it, $10 will be added to your hotel bill. There's a bathrobe, but if you use it,
there's
movies and video games, everything has a charge, and I really hate to admit it, but I paid $10 to use the internets for 24 hours at this stupid hotel.
Wow, what were you doing on the internets? You weren't posting.
What I had to do was, because on the way back, we were splitting the drive up into two parts. We were going to stop in Albuquerque for the night, and of all the things that I had to do, I forgot a couple things, and one of the things that I forgot was to print out the directions to the hotel in Albuquerque. I couldn't even remember which hotel I had booked in Albuquerque, so I had to access the internet to find out. Now, had I just gone up the road and because the Samurai Sam's up the road from the hotel offered free Wi-Fi.
And you had your
I could have just gone, had a rice bowl, and used the internet there, but instead I paid $10 for 24 hours of internet connection at the hotel, just so I could print out, I couldn't even print them out. I had to look it up and write down the directions to the hotel in Albuquerque.
Isn't capitalism great?
Yeah, and
as long as you're not the one being capitalized.
I guess, on top of the internet's fees that I paid, and on top of the amount that we paid to stay at this hotel, which was close to $300 a piece for the whole stay, a $15 per day facilities usage charge, which included the right to park at the hotel, was tacked on to our bill. So, yes, it's a great place to stay. Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it's right in the middle of a lot of things within walking distance of some fine restaurants, but it's not the kind of place you stay for cheap. The place that you'll stay for cheap is the shithole that we stayed in Albuquerque, the Days Inn Midtown on Manal in Albuquerque. I actually wrote the company today when I got home. One of the first things Hotwire does, I booked it through Hotwire.com, is they send you an email and they ask you to rate the hotel you just stayed at. I gave it the poorest rating I could, explained everything in detail. Then I wrote the company. Then I wrote Days Inn and said, how can you allow this under your brand? The place was dirty. There were cobwebs in the corners. The floors were dirty in the bathroom. There was ceiling damage, water damage to the ceiling in the bathroom. The ceiling was sagging into the bathroom over the shower. It was the tub was so dirty I was afraid to get in to take a shower.
So you'd have been better off to save your $10 internet fee and sleep in the car, probably.
Well, no, this wasn't the place that that charged us the $10.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, rather than look up and find your way to this place, you'd have been better off
just giving up on it and staying
in the car.
But had I done that, I would have given up the $50-some I paid to stay there anyway. Because hotwire.com, there's no refunds. I want you to know that.
But you hated it.
You're right, but it was a place to sleep barely.
But so was the car.
You're right. But there was no room in the car.
I was just thinking about Mary knocking on the window, you know. I'm having a baby. Sorry, no room in the car.
Yeah, sorry. You find a manger, pal.
That's right.
So that was pretty much the trip. And, you know, it's just a long goddamn drive between here and Phoenix. And really, it's a long goddamn drive through some very unattractive part of the United States. Some parts of the United States, I'm really surprised that we ever annexed or took away from any native peoples. Just give it all back because it's not attractive. Most of New Mexico, why do we need it?
I don't. I mean, I never.
Research purposes, I guess. We can, you know, toxify that ground.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about it.
Well, I can't really disagree with you on that simply because I don't travel much, as you pointed out.
Yeah, so I've told you how the last 7 days of my life have gone. How about you, Colin? Anything interesting to share with our listener?
You would think, wouldn't you? It'd probably help, you know, flesh out the podcast and all, but I watched a lot of Simpsons this weekend.
Did you? And why was that?
Because I could. I don't know. I just felt like it.
Okay. I did it because it felt good.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, and well, the funny thing is, remember way back when we did the two podcasts about radio and Johnny Houston was with us?
Right.
And your only contribution was that you watched WKRP in Cincinnati growing up?
Yeah.
And Johnny said, well, that's a great show to watch. It shows you how old radio was. And I said, you know what? I never watched it.
Right.
Funny thing is, I've been listening to the Don and Mike show. They originate from WJFK in Washington, D.C., but they're syndicated. They're on several stations across the country, and you can pick them up on the interweb. And I stream the show while I'm working, and it, you know, it's not 100% gold, but it's entertaining enough to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a contest some weeks back, and it was called Are You Smarter Than Joe Ardinger? Joe Ardinger is their call screener, and they set him up as kind of a dullard. And in truth, he's not a Rhodes Scholar, but they had done a bit when Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader first came out. They asked listeners to, if they were parents of fifth grade children, to call and pit their fifth grader against Joe Ardinger. And Joe Ardinger actually won. So Joe Ardinger turned out to be smarter than the fifth graders that called. So then they wanted to see if the listeners were smarter than Joe Ardinger. And I ended up getting through, and all I had to do was spell penicillin. And luckily for me, I'm a fine speller. And so I won the challenge, and they said I was going to receive Borat on DVD. And I was slightly excited because I kind of want to watch Borat, but I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
So this met my minimum requirements. I'll get to see Borat, but I won't have to pay for it.
Right.
And, you know, days wore on, and I never received, you know, any Borat DVD in the mail. And I'm thinking, they probably forgot about me. It's okay. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So then this package comes in the mail right before we leave for Phoenix, and it's pretty thick. And I'm thinking, well, there's more than just Borat in here, and it turns out it's the complete WKRP in Cincinnati collection.
Really?
And let me go get it and tell you what else is in this lousy package.
I think you should go get it and give it to me. That's what I think you should do. Yeah, you didn't hear me. Ha! He's away from the mic. Oh, well. He'll just edit out anything I say later, I'm sure.
Okay, if you were saying anything, I couldn't hear it.
I know.
But it's being recorded, so I can go back to it.
Yeah, that's what I just got through saying. But no, what I say is you need to give that to me, actually.
Well, I might actually watch it.
No.
But there is a fistful of Free FM 106.7 WJFK Free FM bumper stickers, which have coupons on the back for the Firehouse Grill in Old Town Fairfax, which I might send off to D.C. with the girl from work who's moving out there.
Right.
Then there's a DVD, Sting, Bring on the Night. I'm not a Sting fan.
Oh, Sting. You know, I think they were giving that away free with DVD players a while back. My mom got one of those, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then, like I said, the complete first season of WKRP in Cincinnati. So it's a three-disc set, includes all 22 season one episodes, audio commentary by creator and cast, and exclusive DVD featurettes, blah, blah, blah.
That's pretty cool.
And I get a movie, the tagline to which is Magic is Just Around the Corner. The movie is The Thief Lord.
The what?
It looks like the biggest piece of faggy crap I have ever seen. It, yeah. So that's what I got instead of Borat. I was promised Borat. I received that load of shit.
Well, hey.
So you know thanks, what? Don and Mike. Thanks a lot.
WKRP is good.
Well, I'll have to go back and watch it because I really did not like it. Well, I see, and that's the thing. When I was growing up, there weren't very many TV shows I enjoyed.
Right.
And I will have to be one who admits that growing up, I enjoyed The Dukes of Hazzard. I watch it now, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. But I did not like it then. Now, I might like it now, understanding that, you know, I have since grown 30-some years, and I've, you know, actually had experience working in radio, so maybe it will mean more to me now. And since you liked it, yeah.
Well, you know what?
I'll watch it and then give it to you.
Yeah,
how's that?
That sounds great. If you don't like it, give it to me. And at least it wasn't first season of Silver Spoons or something.
Oh my God! I would have. You know what I would have done? I would have sent that back with a note saying, "You know what? Keep it, cram it up your ass, because I'm not watching this." Yeah, I can't even sell this on eBay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want the first season of Silver Spoons, except maybe Ricky Schroeder.
See, the only reason I even remember Silver Spoons is that was when I threw up the worst in my life, was an episode of Silver Spoons was on, and my sort of stepdad, who I don't really lay claim to, was working at a pizza place, and he brought home some pizza, and him and my mom went out, and there was something wrong with that pizza. I was vomiting everywhere, and Silver Spoons was playing in the background, so yeah.
Ah, I see. Well, it's funny, you know, how traumatic events can etch things in your mind like that.
True.
That's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're not talking about trauma. You know what actually we're going to segue to is Triumph.
Triumph.
We are going to segue to Triumph.
Motorcycle.
And you know what? I don't care exactly how conceited this is or how inappropriate it is. I'm going to take credit for resurrecting a guy's career.
You do that.
And you know how we're going to do that, Colin?
You just totally staticked out on me. I don't even know what you said.
Good. Now, if you remember back in December, we interviewed one of the people who was most influential to me as a radio broadcaster. His air name was M. Dung. His real name is Mike Slavko. He was a disc jockey. He started at a college station in Michigan, worked in Detroit, and then went to San Francisco, where he was a big star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's since been out of radio for about 10 years. And the funny thing is, when we interviewed him, he was under the impression that nobody gave a crap who he was. You know, nobody was still looking for him. He was surprised that I wanted to interview him. In fact, his response initially was, sure, but why and how did you find me?
Right.
That, you know, that was his idea. He was living in anonymity, essentially. He knew that, yeah, he had been a big star, but he figured, you know, okay, radio's moved on and forgotten me. So is everyone else. Well, I hadn't. And I know there was a lot of people out there that hadn't as well. But he really wasn't, you know, in the public eye. There was no interviews with him, no news stories about him or anything. Well, what happened was, like I said, you know,
we
couldn't get any sort of actual celebrities, you know, that were in demand. But I was able to convince M. Dung to come on the show, and he was a great interview. Wind him up and let him go. The man, you know, he knows his stuff, and he's still a little bitter, which made him a great interview. You know, I didn't even, you know, just didn't even have to pry, you know, ask a small question, and he was off and running. And since then, I've been getting search hits repeatedly, every day at least, people looking for a variation of the phrase M. Dung DJ, M. Dung San Francisco DJ, M. Dung, you know, idiot show, whatever. And people are looking for him, and people are finding him. And so what happened was, I put a static link on my sidebar so that people, if they're looking for him and they didn't automatically find the page where the interview is on, they can jump to it.
Right.
Well, people are listening. People are listening to the interview. One such person who listened to the interview specifically, his name was Owen Bly. His name is Owen Bly. And Owen Bly specifically owns Ranchero Records, which is a small rockabilly record label.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big fan of M. Dung when he was on the air. And what happened was, Owen listened to the podcast. He emailed me, said, "This is great. You know, how did you find him? Blah, blah, blah." I told him how I found him, told him it was a great, you know, fun interview. And he then emailed M. Dung. And then now what he's doing is, he's hired M. Dung to MC concerts in the San Francisco area. Specifically, he's got two booked already. One for a band called Red Meat. No, not the Max Cannon cartoon, but a kind of a country rockabilly type of band. So he's going to MC the concert for their CD release party. And then, Les Claypool of Primus fame, Les Claypool Les Claypool is going to play a concert in San Francisco, and guess who has been hired to MC the concert?
M. Dung.
M. Dung has been hired to MC the concert, and yes, it may sound conceited, and it may be stupid, but it's really because of you and me. Me more, yeah, but you, you too, more. Because you were there, because I was able to get his ass on the podcast, somebody heard it, decided, hey, you know, I'm glad he's still alive, I want to hire him, so yay us! We resurrected this fucker's career.
Way to go.
Are we going to get any credit for it, though?
No, probably not.
No, because I read the article today in the San Jose Mercury News, and it's also in the San Francisco Examiner and other news outlets in the Bay Area. And it's talking about, oh, he's been out of broadcasting for so many years, but he's coming back. He's going to be emceeing these concerts and talking with Owen Bly of Rancho Records. And all he says was, I found him on the internet. You fucker. You found him because you listened to our podcast. You emailed me. I told him where I found him. And then he goes off and he's, oh, I found him on the internet. I'm so cool. I use Al Gore's interweb to find M. Dung.
But don't you have a warm, fuzzy feeling having helped them?
You know, I do. I have a very warm, fuzzy feeling.
That's good.
Because just like I was hoping, it looks like it's going to jumpstart things. He said he is working on a website where he may, you know, start up streaming another idiot show for his fans. And you know what it did? And he was still, you know, talking about this in the interviews with San Jose Mercury News and The Examiner, is that he was shocked that, you know, people still wanted him around. He just didn't understand that people would remember him.
Right.
As heroes go, he is kind of one of my heroes. I mean, radio people should not be held up as heroes in esteem, but you know, he taught me really by proxy to have fun on the radio, and it was a good lesson to learn. And I took it as far as I could take it. He's taken his as far as he could take it, but now he's finally getting kind of a resurgence, and I think he's finally going to realize what he meant to people and, you know, how he touched people's lives in this, you know, in this little resurgence he's going to have. So that's good.
That is good.
I'd still like credit, though.
Well, you know, the people that know, you know?
My motives aren't pure, man. My motives are not pure. I don't want to be behind the scenes going, yay. I want to be up front going, yeah, I was, you know, looking for him for an interview when he was not cool, San Jose Mercury News.
Thank me.
See?
Thank me. Bow to me.
That's right. Praise me. Kiss my feet.
Right.
Fuckers.
Right.
But it's cool. I mean, yeah. He really, it's not like I gave him his broadcast career. It's not like I invented M. Dung. I'm just, you know, somebody who never forgets anything, unfortunately. That's my curse. If I have a curse, it's that I can't forget anything.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny. I mean, he had pretty much given up on the whole M. Dung period of his life from,
absolutely,
remember from the interview. He just was really bitter about it and really didn't ever have any thoughts of returning to it.
Yeah, in fact, I think that his the words he used was that he had outgrown it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so I think it's great. You know, he's learning that, haha, you can't outgrow it.
Right.
People will not let it die. So maybe it's more of a curse. Maybe he wants to live in anonymity and have it over, but people won't let it die.
And now it's all your fault.
Actually, you know, that would be better. I'll take that credit.
Will you?
Yeah, I'll take that credit in a heartbeat.
Hmm.
But it is funny how, you know, I emailed a couple of times back and forth with his Owen Bly, and then when I asked him if he wanted to be interviewed, the email stopped. So I was like, okay, so you don't want to, you know, you want to be able to take all the credit, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in more of a position to grab the credit because you actually own a record label and you rep bands, and, you know, I don't. So
you know what? You should make a post about this, actually, so it'll be in print on the internet and searchable as well.
You're right, because if it's in print, it has to be true.
Well,
that's what Wikipedia says,
in this
right?
case, it is true, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's the truth as I see it, which is sometimes distorted. That's why I have a category totally devoted to misguided rantings.
I see. And you feel you're misguided now. Is that it?
I'm always misguided in some way, shape, or form. I mean, have you not learned that yet?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it.
You just wanted the satisfaction of me saying it?
Yeah.
Because it didn't mean anything if you said it?
That's right, yeah. What else is wrong with you? Let's hear it.
At least you know where you stand. That's all I can say. At least you know where you stand.
I suppose.
So have we done any other good for anybody on this podcast in the last year? Because we're coming up on our year anniversary.
We are indeed. I was just about to say.
Which is next week, people. Next week is our 1 year anniversary of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Can you believe that we have been doing this crappy little podcast for you, our one listener, for an entire year?
That's unbelievable.
We love you, listener. We love you long time.
I was thinking,
at least a year.
I was thinking I should retire now that I'm at the top of my game, you know?
Brother man, you are not on the top of your game. I hate to break it to you.
I have a feeling this is the top, man. you see me going higher than this? I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's your idea of the top? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, working with you That's working, the top.
You know, that's true. I mean, working with me is a treat and a joy. Yes. I mean, there's people that would kill. There's people that would kill to work
with
me.
This is true.
I don't think so.
No?
I was just lying.
Gee, well.
I know there's a lot of people that would kill to not work with me.
Yeah.
In fact, they might kill me to not work with me.
I know a few, yeah, people that might feel that way.
I want names.
Yeah, well, how's it feel to want? You're not getting
any so, ass wipe.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you got anything else to add?
Any tales to add?
Any tales to add? Anything. I know I just kind of wound myself up and let myself go, but I did have a lot to talk about. I mean, I've been gone for, a week.
No, nothing really. I mean, it's been, my home life has been quiet, and we can't really talk about work too much, so.
No.
Yeah.
But you and my sister have your 3-year pseudo anniversary coming up. I mean, dating anniversaries are so played out. That's so 90s.
Is it so 90s?
Yes. Well, but you've got a 3-year anniversary, and I guess you're soliciting ideas, or at least my sister is soliciting ideas for low cost anniversary fun.
I'm afraid so, yeah, because
You're afraid she's soliciting, or you're afraid it has
I'm
to be low
cost.
It has
to be low cost. I'd rather it didn't have to be, but car payments are just hell, man. I haven't had.
You're the one that decided to buy America's car of the year, the Saturn Aura.
I know.
I'm the one who decided once I got the title to my truck, and I was like, you know what, this changes things. I'm keeping the truck and not getting a car.
Yeah. So anyway, low cost things that we could do around the area.
Royal Gorge. You like the Royal Gorge?
See, I haven't been there since I was 13, and I'm afraid of heights. So.
You got me beat there because I'm afraid of heights too, and it's high up. I haven't been there in a long time. I was there in I think fifth or sixth grade, and damn, it was high.
Yeah, I went down the tram on the side that goes down the side of it. That was pretty scary.
And I'll tell you what. What's even
gondola
on the gondola?
Yeah,
that's if you're afraid of heights, that's where you don't want to be because you're out in the middle of nothing. We did that. We did the. Actually, now that I think about it, I felt very safe in the gondola. I felt safe in the tram. I just didn't feel safe, ironically enough, on the bridge.
On the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, on the bridge itself, I felt like, the whole thing's going to collapse. But when I was enclosed spaces make me feel safe. And I think that's probably why I didn't feel, scared on the tram or on the gondola.
You're weird.
I guess.
Nah,
so the Royal Gorge won't cut it. I don't know what to tell you because everything I can think of costs ducats, as the kids would say.
Well, we're gonna have some ducats. I mean,
What's your ducat limit?
I'm not gonna say.
Come on. No. I'll edit it out.
No. I mean, I've got to balance things out and figure things out too.
Oh, so you don't even know your limit?
Nah, not until about the 15th. I know we're gonna have dinner at the Famous. So.
But that's because you've got gift certificates.
Well. Yeah, that'll help, but
I mean, you'll still have to pay a little bit. I mean, because my sister can eat.
Ah, please. It's because their prices are so damn high. But
no, yeah, well, it is quite the expensive restaurant.
But it should be good.
You know, I hate to break it to you, but
the nice thing, I used to think it was expensive.
I used to think it was a pretty good steakhouse, but then I went and ate at actually really good steakhouses,
mm-hmm.
and you can do better.
Well, but
you can't do better for free.
No. Yeah.
You can't do better with, you can't take that Famous gift certificate and try to barter steak dinner somewhere else.
Right.
But someday when you're looking to eat at a really fine steakhouse, let me know.
Okay.
We'll steer you towards something other than the Famous. But with that disparaging comment, we have to say adieu.
Okay.
It is now time. Time is up on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. And with me, as always, has been Colin Burton from fizzlingpop.com.
Goodbye, everybody.
And we will see you back again next Wednesday for, guess what, our year anniversary episode.
Yay.